Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this continuation of The Watchman as we progress with still our study of the book of Revelation. But remember, the last time I told you about the fall of Babylon, and that is financial Babylon. And I told you how at the same time that the world will be mourning over the fall of the financial Babylon, a system that has made so many wicked people rich. Remember, it says that the city was held together by sorcery and, you know, was trading in all sorts of things, including bodies and souls of men. Now, when that Babylonian empire is falling, then it says somewhere in still Revelation chapter 18 that the holy prophets and apostles of the Lord will be happy and will be rejoicing at the fall of Babylon. That's because the fall of Babylon will not be the fall of the church of the people of God, because it's a judgment for them, but it is in some way the exact opposite for what it is supposed to be for the church. So now we're talking about a wealth transfer. Now I can tell you as clearly as can be said as somebody who is Bible prophecy teacher and, you know, who has been called in this line of direction of teaching, I can tell you unequivocally that we are expecting very soon a wealth transfer, something that is, you know, huge. Not talk about it. I know so many people say, yeah, we've been talking about wealth transfer for so long. Yes, we have. But you see, there's a certain impatience in the church today that they talk about something so small, for a very short time, then they all lose interest because they cannot keep their attention span for long. And then it comes around, and then they've lost interest along the way, and then they miss out on it. It's like the parable in Matthew chapter 25 of the foolish and the wise virgins. Remember, all virgins are a picture of the church. So this is not false against true. These are all a picture of a true church. But there are some people who could not keep their fire burning for long enough. Because, we've talked about wealth transfer for so many years. We've not seen anything. So, we've had this. We've talked about it. Some of us have even preached about it, but we've not seen it. We are still broke. So don't tell us about wealth transfer. But in doing so, you don't realize that your candles are burning out and you do not have extra oil. Now, the time will come, as it was a picture in that book, when the bridegroom came and some people had run out of oil and they ended up missing. And the others who still had oil, filled up their lanterns and went inside and dined with the bridegroom. So we have to be in a place where we do not lose interest in something just because we've waited for it for 1 or 2 years. There are people who waited years for things. In the book of Hebrews, it spoke about people who looked for a city that was not there, and some of them died looking up for it, and yet they did not see it. And it is the generations that came after that saw those great things for which these men had waited. But then the Bible says that because they had that ability to wait and go on, the Lord is not ashamed to be called their God. And therefore, they are in the hall of fame of faith giants. That is Hebrews chapter 11. And what keeps them there is because they did not lose interest. Now, the church these days is a bit fickle in the way it handles these things. One thing doesn't happen 1 month, 2 months, then everybody is up in arms. This is not going the way we thought it is supposed to go. And then people go off and off the rails completely. And I've seen people go so far off the rails, and you even look at them and wonder, did you ever believe it in the first place? Or were you just saying it? Because if you really believed it, you cannot get off the rails so much in such a short span of time. Now I'm telling you that wake up like the wise virgins, trim the wicks in your lantern, refuel your lantern. The time for wealth transfer is now. But I'm going to teach you something about it and about what to expect from it, as we started in the previous message, so last week's message. So if you did not listen to it, I would really advise that you go to the website www.ugwatchman.com and look for that message, because this is a continuation of the other one. And I know this one in its isolation might be of some benefit, but the reality is, to get the full picture, the entirety of the picture, you might have to go back to last week's message. Anyhow, so today I will start by reading in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 18. And I'm sure so many people know this scripture. And it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now it says, remember the Lord your God, that it is he who gives you the power to make wealth. Then he goes on to say that it's a continuation of a sentence. Now I'm sure there are some people who would want it to stop there. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, period. No, there is no period there. It is actually a comma, and it's a continuation. There is a continuation, rather, which says, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now, I told you last week that there really is no wealth without purpose. There is no wealth without purpose. That is true for every spiritual wealth. And the only way you are going to be a part of this wealth transfer is if your wealth is spiritual. If your wealth is coming by different means, I wish you luck, because you will need it. But it is going to be spiritual wealth, where it comes because it is time for it to come and because it has a purpose. And the wealth will locate the people who are aligned to God's purpose. Remember, it says that you may fulfill his covenant. He gives you the power to make wealth. That, now, throughout the scripture, every single thing that comes, there is a why. I have chosen David to be king that he might get of all the territories that the Lord promised to Abraham. I have chosen this one to be king that he might do this, that he may do every person. He does not just say, I've chosen you to be king, period. There is never any period as far as God's purpose is going. He will give you a position, he will give you wealth, he will give you something for a reason. Okay? Even you remember in the book of Isaiah 45, where it's talking about Cyrus, where he says he's making him rich, because he had planned beforehand that Cyrus is the one who would release the Jews to go and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And because of that, God planned beforehand to give him extreme wealth for that purpose. Now, as long as Cyrus accomplished that purpose and sent on the Jews to go and build Jerusalem from the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, where they had been taken captive so many years earlier by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and where they remained captive even after Babylon fell and was divided between the Medes and the Persians. Now, the purpose of Cyrus was to go and take them back, give them the authority, give them what it took to go and rebuild Jerusalem, because that was the purpose of God, and rebuild the temple. Now, when Cyrus did that, and he did it, the two things happened. First of all, he had extreme wealth because he had been selected for that purpose. But secondly, he had extreme prosperity in terms of longevity of years, because he ruled for a very long time. I think he was one of the longest ruling kings anywhere, and those mentioned in the Bible. He must have ruled close to 50 years and something thereabouts. So his reign was very long and very prosperous because he accomplished his purpose. If he had not accomplished his purpose of sending the Jews, telling them, go and rebuild Jerusalem, go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, get you back all you Jews, those who want to go back to your land because it has been rebuilt, go back and worship your God because the temple has been rebuilt, and he provided even so many of the items of the temple. And because of that, he had the prosperity. Now, I'm trying to tell you that there is no actual wealth from the spirit without a purpose. And I told you last time that even the demonic people, the people who serve the kingdom of darkness, their wealth is tied to a purpose. Do not think that these people who you see here, you know, these powerful people who some people even go and quote, they get wealth from the devil just for the purpose of enjoying themselves. It doesn't work like that. Now, by the way, it is actually God who gives people wealth to enjoy themselves, but also for a purpose. But it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that God who richly gives us to enjoy, okay? The devil doesn't give any wealth to enjoy. He's a sadist. But God gives you, first of all, for the purpose for which he has called you, but then also the rest to enjoy. So it's not purely purpose. You know, he gives you a lot more than your purpose needs so that you also go and have fun. Now, that is the God we serve. But you have to understand the purpose. For you to really, really be aligned to the wealth transfer, there has got to be a specific purpose. And you have to know it. And you have to be attached to it. So I'll tell you this. There are two ways you are going to get wealth here in the kingdom of God. First of all, there is the hard work. People say, you know, work hard, work hard. And that's the gospel. You know, like they say, pastors are teaching what? Instead of teaching hard work, hard work. We don't teach hard work. Hard work belongs, according to scripture, that toil, hard work, and so on, belongs to the heathen. Because God has given them the duty of collecting wealth that he might give it to those who please him. Okay? Now, there is nowhere in the Bible, in the wealth transfer, where, you know, it came through hard work. It did not. Abraham's wealth did not come through hard work. It came through the blessing of God. Okay? Isaac, who sowed in famine and reaped a hundredfold, until the king of that place came and told him, leave, because you are too prosperous for us. It wasn't hard work, because everybody else was sowing. It wasn't just Isaac sowing. But because of the blessing of God at that time, he's yielded a hundredfold in a time of famine, when it shouldn't have been yielding anything. So there is nowhere, anywhere, where it came through hard work. In Egypt, when Israel was living, and Moses tells them, go and ask for all the articles of gold and silver from all the Egyptians, there was no hard work. You just go to your neighbor and say, give me all your gold. And the person goes to the storehouse and brings all the gold, brings all the nice apparel, and gives them to you by the favor of God. Now, that's how the end time transfer is going to be. It is going to be by favor. Now, some people say, you're telling people not to work hard. You think what you want. But I'm telling you, you go and work hard and wait 50 years to get your wealth. I don't have that time. The rapture would have happened anyway. So I am telling you that in the end time, it is going to come by two ways. Okay? Hard work. Actually, there is a place for hard work. And even hard work is not something that, you know. Actually, if you read the book of Psalms, I'll read there. Psalms chapter the 107, 7th Psalm. I'll read from verse 11. He says, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. Now, and then he goes on to say, and they fell down and there was none to help. I'll read it again, verse 11 and 12 of Psalms 107. It says, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, they despised it, or they scorned at it. Now, that's what it says in another translation. They scorned at it. So the Lord tells you, do this, then you scorn. Because the world is telling you, you know, you have to work hard. Even Mark Zuckerberg work hard, even so and so. Those are not your examples. Your examples are in the scripture. Abraham, Isaac, Israel, those are your examples. Okay? Now, do not go to these worldly examples. Those are servants of the devil. The kingdom of God where we serve, our examples are in the scripture. And these are the ones I'm giving you now. Here it says, because they scorned against what the Lord was telling them. The Lord is telling them one thing, they pour scorn on it. Sort of thing. And then that's what happens to so many people. And it is so simple, very easy. Do this and you'll get this. Very simple. But the people scorn at it. It's the same thing as the message of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Then somebody says, really? Is it as simple as that? Yes! It is as simple as that. That's what the scripture says. Now, some people want to complicate everything and make it academic and so on. No, if you do this. No, it actually says that. So now, here, there are simple ways in which you're going to get the wealth transfer. Now, try to complicate it and you'll miss out. It is very simple. Now, the hard work thing is for those who have despised the counsel of God. Psalms 107, verse 11 and 12. Because they rebelled against the words of God, and you rebel against the words I'm telling you right now, and you'll be brought down with hard labor, because that's what you want. He says, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised or scorned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with hard labor, and they fell down, and there was none to rescue. So now that is not your portion. That is not your portion. You are going to get your wealth transfer by the election of God, when God chooses to give you, okay? And it is so simple to be part of that election of God. Or by favor, and when it comes by election of God, it's by favor. Something happens, somebody chooses you out, somebody picks you out, and the next thing, you are worthy. And that's how it happens. It is the same thing, okay? That's how it happened to our father Abraham. He goes and lies about his wife, calling her his sister. But when the Lord appeared to the king and told him that restore that woman, because you have taken her from a prophet, and the man comes and gives him a lot of goods, cattle and silver and gold, just because the election of God. Can you imagine? It is Abraham who lied. The other man, realistically speaking, did not do anything wrong, Abimelech. But when God comes, he rebukes the other man, whom they lied to, not to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham is chosen. He's favored. That's what favor means. Favor means you're chosen out. It doesn't mean you've worked for it. It's just you're favored. Okay? You're favored. The generation of Benjamin, who his brothers come, Joseph gives everybody a change of clothes. He gives Benjamin 5 changes of clothes. What different did Benjamin do from the rest? Nothing. Just favor. Now that is your portion, where you are picked out for more than you deserve. If you want to get what you deserve, you've canceled favor. Favor means you don't deserve. It is, you've just been elected for that by God, by the purposes of God. But you have to align yourself with purpose. So the whole hard work thing, the people who preach, you know, these people, instead of telling people to work hard, and you hear all sorts of people saying, that is the voice of the devil. Now, I'm not telling you not to work hard, okay? But I'm telling you that if you eliminate the election of God, if you eliminate that there is a purpose of, if you eliminate that you can also sow and reap a hundredfold when some people are not reaping, or when some people are reaping very little because it is famine, then Isaac did not become prosperous by hard work. Those are our examples. So the hard work that one have eliminated, if you really, really want to be a part of this end time transfer, get that mindset out of your, and I'm not saying you don't work hard, please don't get me wrong, but don't see that as your ticket to anything. No, no, no. Your ticket is by the election of God. Your ticket is by the favor of God. And the other one is through inheritance. That's the other way you get wealth. Now, inheritance, in this world in which we are in, the spiritual world, inheritance works in a way where somebody has something and then he gives it over to you. Now, I'm not talking about the worldly inheritance. I'm talking about the spiritual inheritance, okay? Where somebody, I mean, we all, there are people who are heirs. Jesus said we are heirs of salvation. Now, Jesus did not leave anybody anything. When Jesus went, he came, he lived here, he died with the most powerful name in heaven and on earth and in beneath earth. But he did not leave anybody a land title. No, he left us the inheritance of everything he had done, the inheritance of his name. And says, I've given you my name. That is your inheritance. Then afterwards, the fathers, the people who are your spiritual fathers, okay, if they have something that is given to them of God, like the prosperity anointing, the anointing to prosper, and you see it in them, and you see it in your fathers, that is your inheritance. You get exactly what your father has. There is no difference in ownership between father and son. Okay? Now I'm not talking about heavenly father. I'm talking about spiritual father here on earth. And you have to have a spiritual father. That's the other way you get inheritance. Okay? Now, there is no difference in inheritance between father and son. None whatsoever. When I have a car, my son does not say, my father's car. No, no, no. He says, our car. Because anything that I have is his. By right. Okay? It's his by right. He has a right to it by virtue of being a son. Now, when he goes to my home, which is mine, he did not put any shilling on that home. He does not say, my father's home. No, he says, our home. And he has a right to say, our home. Because everything that I have is his by right. So I am not doing him a favor. So as much as it is mine, it is his. So now you have to understand this same principle works in the spirit. Now when you have a spiritual father and you know that he has an anointing to prosper, an anointing to do, you know, magnificent things, you have a right to claim everything he has. Okay? It's not a privilege. It's a right to claim everything that he has. Okay? In the spirit. And you receive it in the spirit. Now, there are scriptures for that, of course, where Paul is talking about, you know, how the Philippians, for instance, are partakers of his grace. I think that's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where the partakers of his grace. And then somewhere else where he tells them that because you've supplied my needs and I'm full and I'm satisfied, you know, then my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, there are some people who don't want to hear those things because they think that, yeah, you get all your money and give it to pastors. Now, if you really want to be a part of this wealth transfer, avoid the reasoning of the world. It is from the devil. It is not from God. Our reasoning is from the scripture. Get the mind, your mindset aligned with the scripture. Do not get it aligned with the things of this world, because the world has nothing to offer that is of any benefit to you, by the way. You will end up working hard like them and not even getting what they get, because for you, you can't even work as hard as them, by the way. It's very difficult. But you see here, in Philippians, he's talking about their generosity. And he talks about, I'll read from chapter 4, verse 17. He says, I'll start from verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities, not for the church's necessities, for my necessities. Some people get angry when you tell them that you're providing for the necessities of the man of God. They say, no, it's supposed to be for you, give the church. If you really want to be part of this end time prosperity, you have to understand that the anointing is the one which carries the ticket. The anointing that you're under is the one which carries the ticket to the wealth transfer. That is if that person is walking in the purposes of God and you can clearly see an anointing of prosperity on them. That is where the ticket is, in their necessities. Okay? Paul here says, verse 16, Philippians chapter 4, for even in Thessalonica you sent aid once more. The word aid actually is, like, you know, not the right word here. It is the gift, once and again for my necessities. Okay? Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Now, this is the key thing. Anybody who has the heart of a father, when he receives a gift from somebody, he's not looking to the gift. He's looking to what comes out to the other person. Now, if I know that I have the anointing to prosper, and somebody comes and gives me a seed, I know that they are going to benefit. I know it. I do not gamble. There was a time, actually, it used to scare me, because I remember when I just started pursuing and chasing these principles that I'm telling you. Now, one time somebody came and gave me a really, really big seed. And he came and, you know, I could see that he had. Then I looked around. When the person left, I prayed and said, God, I hope that these people who give me actually, you know, receive a harvest. Because I can see somebody has given you something that is, you know. And I say, I hope they receive a harvest. And the Lord told me clearly, as long as you do my purpose, don't have to worry about them. They will receive a big harvest. You just continue doing my purpose. Continue doing what I said you to do. And everybody who connects to you will be blessed. That it's just that simple. Purpose. And I wish people knew that everything is to a purpose. And that purpose does not end on this earth. It is eternal. Now, you are pursuing God's eternal purpose, which, you know, rings into eternity, into the winning of souls, into what God has promised to this end time. And I'm going to tell you a bit about some of those purposes of God in this end time and how we are supposed to tie in all of us into one purpose or the other. Now, you're busy pursuing that, and guess what? God is not only giving you extra some people think that all we have is to, you know, to preach the gospel. No, God does not work like that. That everything you have is supposed to be to preach the gospel and then you have nothing left over. Not a chance. That is not how our God works. When you pursue his purpose, he will give you extra to have a good house, a good car, a good life while you are pursuing his purpose. Okay? That's what I told you last time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. All of them. But first, seek the kingdom. Now, that is the seek the purpose of God. Anyhow, so I am telling you that this is the inheritance thing. But you have to understand that inheritance comes with instruction. Everything inheritance has to come with an instruction. And I'm going to show you that. Now, listen to what Paul is saying in verse 18. Indeed, I have all and I abound. In other words, I have more than I need. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. In other words, Paul is saying, if you give me and I'm satisfied because I'm a servant of God, because you've given me and I am satisfied, it is a well-pleasing to God. Okay? And then he says, now because you've done that, my God will supply all your need according, not according to the economy of Uganda, not according to the, you know, the scenario right now, not according to COVID economy or COVID measures. No. According to his riches in glory. That does not change. It is not changed by COVID or no COVID. No. He will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, it is just that simple. Now, somebody comes and says, these Philippians, whom he says in chapter 1 that you are partakers of my grace. So, this inheritance. Now, there is no inheritance that does not come with an instruction. Now, some people don't want to be instructed. They want to inherit something, and then they say, just give me the inheritance and get lost. And I've seen so many people like that. You know, there are all sorts of people, by the way, when you, especially so many of them in the church, where somebody comes and they want the fruit without any form of instruction. So, there is no instruction, just give me the money and let's get out of here. Don't waste my time. But that is not how it works. In the book of 1 Kings, when David was dying and was giving over his inheritance to Solomon, his inheritance included a kingdom and so on. He gave Solomon strict instructions of what to follow. Okay? very, very strict instructions. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of the earth. Be strong and therefore prove yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. And you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go. That the Lord may fulfill his word or his covenant, which he spoke concerning me, saying. Then he went on to give him instruction by instruction. After that, do this. There are these people who did wrong. Make sure they do not live to the end of their days. Like real instructions. Do this. Do that. Do that. Some people would say, don't waste my time. Just give me the kingdom. Die and get lost. Now that's the mindset of people these days. That's what, no wonder the Bible says in the last days people will be, you know, lovers of self and so on. Now Solomon sat down and he was getting a kingdom as an inheritance, but he also got along with it a lot of instruction. Job chapter 22 says, receive instruction, receive instruction. And now that's a big thing, receive instruction. That's where actually all the fruit of this end time is going to be, in receiving instruction. And I told you last time that, when was the last time you got instruction from the Lord about what to do? When was the last time? Job 22:22, chapter 22, verse 22. Receive instruction, please. Receive, I'll read it again. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, he will build you up and he will remove iniquity far from you. Verse 24, then you lay your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Okay? Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver, and so on and so forth. Now, it says, receive, please. Receive, comma, please, instruction. Now, that is what, receive, please, receive instruction. Now, if you receive instruction, then you receive the inheritance. Now, there is no inheritance without instruction from the Lord, but also from spiritual fathers. Now, sometimes you receive an inheritance from a spiritual father, but the instructions will come from the Spirit of God on what you should do in that line. And you have to follow those instructions. Remember what it says, that remember the Lord your God who gives you the power to make wealth, that he may fulfill his covenant. There is a covenant every single time period from the creation of man up to now. There is something God wants to accomplish on earth every single time. Now, in the time we are living, there is something God wants to accomplish on earth, which has been designated for this period of time in which we are, and he is counting on certain people who are us, who are people listening to this message right now, to align themselves to say, I am going to accomplish this purpose of God. And as soon as you do that, and as soon as you set your purposes in line with God, then the wealth comes along with it. Now, the wealth will come for you to complete the purpose, but also for you to enjoy. There will come a lot more than you need for the purpose. So everything you need for the purpose will come from the Lord. Everything else you need for yourself and for your pleasure will also come from God. Okay? He doesn't stop at only the purpose. No, no, no. That's not how our God works. He's, you know, the God of more than enough. Okay? So this is, you know, the Lord our provider, the Lord of God of more than enough, El Shaddai. So this is the God that we serve. So it is all tied to the purpose in which we live. And remember, if you want hard work, go by that way. But there are better ways. There are easier ways. One of them is inheritance from a spiritual authority who has been given this lineage of wealth, a spiritual authority. You connect to that person. You connect to them through your obedience to them. You connect to them through pursuing the purpose first of God and then of them. Now, some people think that you can pursue the purpose of God independent of pursuing the purpose of somebody who has been sent by God. Now, some of these things might sound intelligent, but they actually aren't. Now, you see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul is talking about giving and prosperity and so on. All those chapters about the subject of giving, 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. But he said, in talking about the Corinthians, he said, and not only as we hoped. Okay, I'll start from verse 3. I will say, for I bear witness that according to your ability, yes, and beyond your ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, we should receive the offering. That's what he meant. And he says, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us by the will of God. Now, there are certain people who God has put there as authority figures who, having given yourself to the Lord, now the Lord says, now that you've given yourself to me, I put you under this person. Go and serve that person. That's where your wealth is. That's where your wealth transfer is going to come. You first give yourself to the Lord, then to people, somebody. Now, Paul says there, you gave yourself to the Lord. And then to us. To us, he was meaning to Paul and Timothy. To himself and with Timothy, with whom he co-wrote the epistle of 2 Corinthians. So, now you know that, who am I under? Now, that's a very, very important thing. Some people are following certain people because they are flamboyant, because they have this, or some reasons because maybe geographically this place is near home, or for whatever reason. I charge each and every person listen to this message to go and actually pray and find out, God, where am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be under? There's nobody who is not supposed to be under anybody. Nobody. Now, find out, who am I supposed to be under? Where in line is my wealth transfer? Remember the example I gave you last time. If you're recruited into government service, civil service, you have to find out, first and foremost, where exactly have you been posted? Because if you're recruited in civil service, you might have been posted in Ministry of Agriculture, but then you end up at Ministry of Defense, and they don't know you there. You go there and say, I'm an employee here, and nobody knows you because you're in the wrong place. Okay? They might even call police on you and call you an imposter because you're in the wrong place. However, if you wake up one day from that confusion and find out, where was I posted? Then they tell you, no, actually, you were posted in Ministry of Agriculture, not in Defense. Then you move away from Ministry of Defense and go to Ministry of Agriculture. Then you find an office waiting for you, and they say, where have you been? We've been waiting for you. And you find a desk waiting for you. And by even your salary has been there waiting for you. But as long as you were in the wrong place, the salary and everything was coming, but somewhere where you're supposed to be, not where you are. Some people think that you can give instructions to God on how to... No. God does not take instructions from you. He never does. He's God. You're not God. So if you want His blessing, you're going to do it His way, not your way. Okay? He is the Lord God. He changes not. You are the one who has to change yourself, to align yourself with Him. He does not change. He says that in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. So some people are so stubborn in their approach to the things of God that they would really desire that God, come find me here. If you want to bless me, find me here. If you don't want, leave. Tell you what, you will not be blessed. I can guarantee you that. He does not change. He will not change for you. That's not who He is. He is God. So you have to humble yourself, find out where exactly you're supposed to be, and go and be there. Who are you supposed to be under? Go and serve there. Some people say, you know, my friends are all here. Go and tell that to God and tell Him, God, please change because of my friends. Break Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Break the scripture because my friends are here. See how that goes. He is not going to. So you either want His blessing and do it His way, or you do not want it and do it your way. It's just that simple. So I hope I am actually communicating with somebody here today. Now, there are certain things that the Lord wants for us to do in this period, and things for which we have to align ourselves clearly. Okay? So the first things you have to ask yourself as we enter into this period where we are actually expecting a serious wealth transfer, because this is the time. This really is the time. It is just, you know, all over the place. Now, remember that it had to come after a very, very bad period. Some people say, but you know, we are despondent after all these things. Churches are closed, blah, blah, and so on. Everything is not working out. Yes, we know that. But that had to happen. You see, there are certain things which light shines in darkness. Okay? That's why it says in Isaiah chapter 6, they arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. This is what we are seeing right now, the darkness, all these demonic people imposing instructions on us and closing churches and telling people that only churches, 200 people, demonic people who are servants of the devil, presidents, you know, and so on. But it says, but behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to the brightness, to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, this darkness, the period that we've been going through, had to happen. But now its time is up. Now the glory of the Lord is going to be risen. And now the glory of the latter house, you know, the glory that we are talking about is going to be a very much glory of wealth. Okay? The wealth, the silver and gold belong to me, Haggai. Okay? One more time I shake the earth and shake the heavens, and the silver and the gold are mine, and it will come, and I don't have time to go into all of that, but I'm just trying to tell you that the time is now. So here are some of the things you should be thinking about. Are you at your station where the Lord wants you to be exactly? When was the last time you got instructions from the commander-in-chief, who is the Holy Spirit, about what you're supposed to be doing and where exactly you're supposed to be? I gave an example in the last message of somebody who is somewhere, you know, and let's say you're a soldier in the Ugandan army, UPDF, and they last posted you like 10 years ago. They told you go to Congo, and you're there in Congo for 10 years and you've never found out what are the new instructions, but you're there. The last time you heard from the commander, your commander, was 10 years ago. I mean, what if people have shifted, everything has turned? Don't you ask, what are the new instructions? Don't you go to the commander and say, the last time you spoke to me, you were telling me to go to Congo. Is this war still on? Is Uganda still supposed to be in Congo? Or am I misplaced? Then the commander says, oh, I'm sorry. Now that you've asked, actually, you are not supposed to be in Congo now. You should have left Congo, and now I want you to be here. So now if you go to the Spirit of God right now, and everybody is going to go, I pray, and ask the Lord, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing at this period of time? Now, when you get the instruction will come with the provision, and you'll put yourself on in the line for a wealth transfer. And it will come fast a little, then it will increase very fast. And then in a short time, as you continue to obey the instruction, you'll continue to see how the wealth comes and just flows to you by just simply waking up and doing this, by the election and instruction of God. You'll see how it comes to you, praise the Lord, and it is going to be that simple. Now, are you at the right station where you're supposed to be? That's the first question you ask yourself. Number two, are you pursuing God's big picture, or are you so taken up by a very small, minute picture that only involves you and yourself and your surrounding, that you have no time whatsoever for the big picture? And I see this a lot in our churches. I actually see it quite a lot in our churches, where people, somebody comes and says, now we are building a church. Okay? We are building a church. And that is a good thing a lot of the times. But they get so consumed with that thing that they have no time to look at the big picture, the bigger picture. You cannot really be an effective minister or an effective person unless you're seeing the big picture. Now, that's in ministry. But even if you're a doctor, even if you're an accountant, whatever position you are in, everywhere God calls people and is building some grand picture, some grand puzzle, which is supposed to be of great, great importance in this end time. And he wants everybody to know where they fit and to see the grander picture. Now, the more you see the big picture, is the more you see where you fit. And it's the more you see what the Lord is telling you, how it adds to the big picture. But now when you don't see the big picture, it's difficult to get real instructions from God. And it's difficult to even understand how important those specific instructions are. So it is so important that we move on away from this, small time thinking, which has been a very big characteristic of the church, and move into seeing God's grand picture, because we are living this end time. Now, we are supposed to be seeing what God is doing. What is the Lord doing across the country? What is he doing across the world? Where is he pushing the world? Now, I'll go to the third one. Are your purposes aligned with God, or do you have your own purposes and you somehow expect God to come and align himself to you because your purposes somehow are supposedly bigger than his? You know that's what's going to happen. So, what is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? Is it aligned to God's grand picture and to what he's doing? Okay. Number four, are you constantly receiving instruction, or did you last receive instructions 10 years ago and you're still going on that instruction? What is the latest instruction? When was the last time you actually went and inquired from God about what you should be doing? Now, I can tell you this, if you inquired, regardless of how immature you are in the spirit, God will find a way of communicating to you. It is that important to him. The Spirit of God will find a way of communicating to you. Even if you are the most baby Christian. He will find a way of communicating to you. After all, even we, as a parent, I find a way of communicating to my children at whatever age group they are at. Now, if one is a teenager, I know how to communicate to a teenager differently. If one is a baby, I know how to communicate to a baby separately. Now, I do not speak to a baby the way I would speak to a teenager. So God has the wisdom, of course, to know how to communicate to different people, regardless of their spiritual maturity or immaturity. So if you ask, he will answer. The Spirit of God will answer and tell you, this is what I want you to be doing. Now, it might seem like, do not be inconvenienced by it. If you feel that it is the direction God is leading, just go there. Just do it. Do it. Close your eyes. Go and do it. And let the peace of God rule in you. Some people say, how do I know that it is the will of God? And so what? How do I know it is God? And so on. First of all, it cannot be off the scripture. It has to be something which aligns to something that is scripture. Number one. Number two, if you make a mistake, everybody is bound to make a mistake. If you make a mistake, God will realign you. He will show you that you've made a mistake. He does not say, now he's made a mistake, now you go and get lost. No, he's a father, okay? He's a good father. So if you make a mistake because you're trying to get instruction from him, there is nothing wrong with that. Everybody who even receives from him directly now and hears his voice and knows it very well, everybody started making mistakes. So do not fear making mistakes. Just go, the Spirit of God will find a way of realigning you and bringing you back to where he actually wants you to be. So do not fear that. So the four questions you have to ask yourself, are you at the station you're supposed to be? In other words, this is about geography, place, under which person. Are you pursuing the big picture of God? Are your purposes aligned to the purposes of God? Are you constantly receiving instruction from the Spirit of God or from the person he has put you under? Okay? Instruction sometimes might not come directly from the Spirit of God. It might come from the man of God under whom you are. And he gives you instruction. This is what I want you to do. Now, in the whole alignment of God, that is instruction from the Lord, because he put you under that person, okay, to serve that person. Now, that's how you receive of the anointing. That's how Elisha receives from Elijah, by pouring water on his hands, by serving him, then the anointing passes on to him. Now, that's how it works, okay? So do not fear service. Don't be too proud to serve. Anyhow, so those are some of the things you must be talking about. In this time, I want to read a scripture which is in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll read it from, as usual, the New King James Version. I'll start from verse 8 through 10. This is what it says. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, what I want you to see here, therefore, there are two things. Now, in this end time period, I have told you before, anybody who has been following, that the book of Daniel is generally a picture of what is going to happen in the end time. Everything in the book of Daniel is a picture of what is going to happen here in the end time in which we are living, the times in which we are living. So this book is very, very, very important for us who are living in this period. Now, I'll tell you that the story of Daniel in the lion's den, very important, you know, very, very important. But I want you to realize one thing. I'm reading chapter 6, verse 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, the advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the decree. In other words, O President Museveni, decree that nobody shall attend church in a period of 1 month, and whoever attends church in this COVID period is going to be thrown into a den of lions. So you see, all these things are repeated. So now it is repeated. Somebody knows that there is a man called Daniel who represents the end time church, who goes and prays. And these people know that they cannot have real power in the kingdom when this man goes and continues his praying. So they go through the king, and then they decree that they close churches. And the king, or whoever it is, president, and I'm talking about president of all the countries, you know, they come and put up this thing, the same thing. But there's something which interests me here, because verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, I want you to realize that Daniel knew that every law which is signed here cannot be altered. And he knew what he was doing was going to put him in trouble to be put in the den of lions. He knew that. And he had the choice of going and praying. Now, some Christians today would say, but also him, why did he do that? Why didn't he go and pray quietly? Because even God hears, even if you pray quietly. Why did he have to open his window towards Jerusalem and make sure all his enemies see that he's praying? Okay? Some people would interpret that as malada. You know, he's proud. Why does he have to open his window and pray in front of everybody? Yet he can actually do and be as effective praying in quiet. Because these people were not going to come and check inside his house. Is Daniel praying? No. But he knew he had been praying, opening his window and facing Jerusalem. That's how he had been praying. It says, as his custom was since early days. So now these people come and they want to interrupt a custom. So we are used Wednesday Bible study, Sunday church, the conference. What now? They come and they want to interrupt a custom. Now the purpose of them doing that is when the decree is removed. Remember, they just said 30 days. We only need 30 days. Let this last 30. They didn't say let it last forever. No, they said just 30 days. Why? 30 days was enough for them to disrupt a custom, something that had been done. And Daniel knew exactly what they wanted, and he knew exactly what the penalty of his disobedience was. But he went ahead and did it. Now, the purpose of these people is to make sure that Christianity is practiced behind closed doors. Take it out of public square. Put homosexuality in public square. Put witchcraft in public square. Put all sorts of bugwenyufu and all sorts of, you know, wickedness should be what is done publicly. Now, Christianity, praying to God, worshipping, that one. No, it's okay, you go and worship in private. You don't have to bring it here. Now, that's how the devil comes and brings his end time deception. And some people think it's okay, because I can pray in private. No, it's not okay. A whole generation is being lost because you're doing something in private. Now, Daniel knew that the only way he was going to turn this empire is doing what he had been doing. He could have said, okay, these 30 days, let me pray in private. After that, I can come back and pray in public. But the scripture says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and went and opened his window and prayed as usual. He knew. And he knew once the writing is signed, it cannot be unsigned. Because he was a governor of Babylon. And he knew the penalties. He knew the laws. So he knew what was coming. But he knew what the devil intended. So he said, we are not going to be signed. Now, I can tell you this. The world right now, the world we are in right now, I was reading the other day, there's a footballer called Neymar who plays in Paris. For PSG, a club called PSG. He's paid £400,000 every month extra on top of his wages, not to mention God in his interviews. He's a believer, he's a Christian. He's a Brazilian, he's a Christian. But he's paid extra money, just don't mention God. When you're giving interviews or in public or on your social media or in anything, don't mention God, don't give credit to God. We are willing to pay you £400,000 every month extra on top of your other wages, just not to mention God. That's how much it means to them. Now, guess what he did? He does not mention God. But then, these people achieve their purpose because they want to make God something for losers. But then on the other hand, then there's another guy who is born in Manchester, but who lives in America, who is the world heavyweight champion, boxing champion. And for him, everything, it's about the name of Jesus. Last week, but one, he won. I mean, the other weekend, this past weekend, but the previous one, he won a big fight. And the first, all the fights he wins, the first thing he does, he says, I would like to give praise and glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives me the victory, and I give him all the glory. He says, I give him the glory, he gives me the victory. Now, the media channels don't like that he gives praise to Jesus, but he does not care. He does not care. Everything, the first thing, every interview, the first thing he says, I give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives me this victory, and I give him all the glory. Now, because of that, the man is winning one fight after the other, because the devil wants to put God out of public square into some kind of secret chamber. Now, anybody who stands and says, I'm going to give glory to God on those pulpits, God will lift you up and put you there so that you stand there and say, I am here by the name of Jesus Christ. And you listen to that man. You go to YouTube and listen to him. He's called Tyson Fury. He just won a fight, WBC, Heavyweight Championship of the World. You go there and find him out. I would like to give glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one who gives me the victory. I give him the glory, he gives me the victory. Then they ask him, you fell down, you're on the verge of defeat, you are going to go out, you came back and came back strong. And how did you do it? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave me the energy. Jesus Christ gave me the energy. Now I can tell you the whole media channels are angry that this man is saying Jesus Christ, but he does not care. He's the heavyweight champion. And he knows Jesus Christ put him there. And he's going to give him the glory. Now, if you stand up, and now this is part of the purposes for which we are supposed to be aligned, where you say, God, if you give me that throne, I will put it in people's faces that I am here by the glory of Jesus Christ. Okay? I am here by the power of Jesus Christ. Like that man, I love him because of that. You know, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every interview says, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I am here because of Jesus Christ. And the man gives glory to the Lord. And other pastors cannot even stand up and do that. They stand on television, they ask them about, is Jesus the only way? Then they start, you know, murmuring, maybe he's the only way, maybe he's not, and what? Pastors! But here is a heavyweight champion, a boxer. But for him, he gives glory to the Lord for everything he has accomplished in the boxing ring. Every single fight. And now they are used to him, they listen to him giving glory to Jesus Christ, then he says other things later. But after you have all known, all of you have known, that this is who I represent, and this is who gives me my power, and this is whom I give the glory. And now, afterwards, we can talk other things. So, now anybody, while the Daniels of this generation, who stand up and say, you are not going to force me to put Jesus Christ in a box somewhere, so that I pray in private, when I stand up in public, I do not acknowledge myself as a follower of Jesus Christ. Those ones will go down and down. Now, those who stand and say, God, if you give me any pulpit, by pulpit, I don't mean a preaching pulpit. I mean, make you the best something, best whatever. I'll give glory to you, and it will be for your glory, and I'll stand out there. Now, because it is for the purpose of God to save a generation of people who have been kept away from the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it will have aligned with the purposes of God, God will give you things which you never thought you would have. I wish people would come up and they say, have you had people who are rich men of God? And they ask them that, how do you have all this money? And the person says, I have businesses. No. I am blessed. There are so many people who have businesses and they are broke. So don't tell me that I have businesses. Now, how do you have this money? By the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You put it out in people's faces. They don't want to hear it, but it doesn't matter. They are not the ones who put you on that platform. Now, this man knows it is not them who put him there, who made him champion. So he knows, he probably knows, he prayed sometime and told Jesus, if you make me champion, I'll give you the glory. So when he's champion and he's winning every fight, he comes and fulfills his end of the bargain and gives glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am telling you that in this period, Daniels, who will stand up and say, I don't care. Whatever it takes, I will give glory to my God, and I will give glory as it is now to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the people, that's part of the purposes of God that we are pursuing right now. I have to end here because my time is up, but if you feel led to sow into us continuing carrying these messages across the country, I'll tell you these are the numbers you can use, 0780292555. I'm sure they will be in the announcements, or 0755292555. If you want to get any of the other messages that have been preached, go to our website, www.ugwatchman.com. You can download them. They are very simple. We made them very light so that they don't take a lot of your data. Thank you so much for listening to us here on The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful evening. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9, Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.